in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything be ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Amen. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Amen. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. Precious Lord, thank you for the grace that we sang about today. Thank you for the power that Brother Jake prayed that we must have as believers. And then thank you, Father God, for the strength that we need to apply these biblical principles to our lives so we can be living epistles of the things of God. Now I ask you to be with the preacher of the day, Father God. You've been with the choir. We heard them. And now you're present. Be with the word of God. Let it go out, Father God. And let someone hear it like they've never heard it before.
Amen.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A place called heaven. Folks, you talk to folks, and a lot of folks is real proud of their hometown. You talk to folks, you go somewhere, they'll tell you, I'm from Youngstown. They're down in Atlanta. You're running to folks in Texas. You're running to folks anywhere you go, and you run into somebody, I'm from Youngstown. And now I'm from Boardman. I'm from Austin Town. I'm from Liberty. And the people of Philippi, they were proud of the fact that they were a part of the colony called Philippi, a Roman colony. It was a glorious place, a wonderful place. If you were a former war soldier or something, you'd go there and you live like a king in Philippi. You had all the rights of Rome. You wouldn't be punished. You could do some wonderful things as a citizen of Philippi. And then we talked last week a little bit about folks just rushing the borders. They're rushing the borders of America and of Russia and Canada, trying to get to these countries because they have no country. They want to be citizens. They want their citizenship in America. Because in America, like I say, you can make it in America. Jobs in America. Me and Cindy was riding up Belmont, and they had a guy out. He was dressed in the American flag, and he was doing his tax thing or something. He was just walking, holding a sign. I said, "See, there go a job." Ain't no way I'm gonna do that. But that guy did it. He was doing it good too. You ride by the Little Caesars, and you see the woman out there with the banjo. She just dancing away.
Yeah.
Only in America, and making money doing it.
Yeah.
But Paul said something. He said, "Let me tell you something." As nice as Philippi is and as nice as America is for the believer, he said, for the man of God, for the woman of God, he said, our citizenship is in heaven. Is in heaven. And we ought to want to go there. We ought to be excited about the fact that when we leave here, we're going to go to heaven. What an exciting time. What an exciting thing. And I was just thinking about the songs we were singing today and talking about heaven. Talk about heaven. A wonderful place. And you know, we use the word as especially as clergy and ministry, we use the word to comfort folks. There's not a more comforting word we can use, even though probably 90% of the time we use it, we lying. And you know, we'll talk to somebody and we just don't know what else to say because we're trying to comfort his lost soul. We'll say, your loved one is in heaven. And we know. We don't know. And I always say there's two heavens. Today I'm going to talk about the right heaven. Amen. I know there's two. Because there's one everybody go to. All you got to do is die. There's another one that you got to know about. I told you the story if you were part of our Wednesday night Bible study. Y'all heard it, so just hang in there with me. But there was the little boy's father passed away suddenly. And they were trying to comfort the little boy. He was just distressed. He lost his father. And the clergy come over and the little lady said, well, your father is in heaven now. He's in a better place. He's dancing with the angels. He's just doing wonderful now. And the little boy knew his father. His father traveled the world. And he knew his father. Every time his father would go somewhere, and him and his father would sit down and map it out. And they would talk about it. He said, Dad, when you go here, bring me a souvenir back. When you go here. And they were trying to comfort the little boy. And the little boy says, my dad traveled the world. And everywhere he ever went, he studied. We would map it out. He said, my dad never talked about going to heaven. My Lord, are you talking about going to heaven? Are you excited about it? I was talking to Deacon Oliver this morning. You know, we was just talking. I said, you got your $10,000? I said, do you got your $10,000? Because that's what it takes to go into the ground. That's ridiculous. I said, Deacon, you got your $10,000? I said, you got your money. It costs money to die. Amen. Folks don't like that conversation. Boy, you know, I preach it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. These funeral homes ain't playing. You got to be ready to leave. But ready in a different sense. What about heaven? What about heaven? What is heaven? I have to go to John 14, and I might not leave here for a little while, but John 14, we know the text. We know the text. But it's a enlightening text in light of our subject today. Here's Jesus talking to the disciples, and the disciples are concerned. And Jesus talks to the disciples, John 14, 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. That's key. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. See, we have a lot of folks that believe in God, but don't believe in the me of God, the Jesus of God. Amen. See, I believe in God. Do you have the right one? Amen. Does he have a son that was born of a virgin, that lived a sinless life, that died on a cross, that was buried and rose on the third day? No. Well, you don't believe in the God I believe. Amen. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. Mm-hmm. That's how you get to heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Okay? These apostles and disciples were well taught. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a place. I think that's important because a lot of times we just say, well, you know, your daddy's in heaven or your mommy's in heaven or your little boy's in heaven, whatever. And then they say, well, then that young person, if it's like the Wednesday night Bible class, they go, what is heaven like? Heaven is a place. Okay? Heaven is a place. It's a location. Okay? It's an area. And Jesus talked to his disciples many times about certain places. So when he said that heaven is a place, that I go to prepare a place, they knew that he meant a place, a location, a site, a area. Don't tell nobody going to heaven, don't know nothing about it. Okay? When you're going somewhere, you punch in your GPS, you got to put in a city, a street, a zip code, a place. You just can't say, GPS, I want to go somewhere. You won't get there. It's a place. When Jesus told them that there's going to be a donkey waiting for you, he told them in Matthew 11:4, he said, there will be a donkey, a colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. See, Jesus was specific. Okay? In Matthew 26:36, said, and Jesus come unto them and said unto them, Jesus with them unto, excuse me, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray. Jesus was crucified in a place called Golgotha. So we know what he's talking about, but he says, a place, a place. I'm just saying, when he's going to heaven. Heaven's a place. Tell me more about that place, mommy. What sort of place is heaven? It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. When we look at Revelation, talks about it in Revelation 21 and 22. Let's look at verse 22 and 1 through 3. It talks about this beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And I told the class Wednesday, I said, let me tell you, you know, grace and mercy hang together. Grace and mercy hang together. Then the Father and the Son hang together. But we was talking about worry. Worry and faith don't run together. Amen. Let me say that. Worrying and having faith. Then faith and worry don't go together. Jesus and the Father go together. Amen. Grace and mercy go together. And here we see the Father in heaven says, in the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now, remember the tree of life? It used to be in the garden, and Adam and Eve went in there and ate of the fruit. And God did what to the tree? Took it out. Told them not to come back. Now we see the tree of life showing up. We know the garden was a beautiful place. Heaven is going to be a beautiful place. Look at verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. No more curse. We know that to mean no more sickness, no more dying. You know, you get on the road today and it's like, see like dead animals all over the road. They're raccoons and all squirrels, all. You ain't gonna see no more of that when you get to heaven. No more dying, no more death. Heaven's gonna be a beautiful place. Heaven's gonna be a beautiful place. So we see it's a prepared place. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, personally.
Amen.
For you. I can't prepare a place for Claire. Claire can't prepare a place for me. Amen. God can prepare a place for her. It's going to be a beautiful place. More, Pastor. Tell me some more about it. Go, everybody going to heaven. I want y'all to be equipped. I think that's the pastor's job, to equip people. You know, tell your loved ones, don't lie to them. Just tell them.
Amen.
Before it's too late.
Amen.
Okay. Heaven will be a place of holy and righteousness and saintly companionship. You have saintly companionship in heaven. How you know, Pastor? Because the Word of God says so. Now, I don't have to worry about it. Turn on the news. I was talking to Jake, man, in Minnesota, just killed his whole family. Killed his 3 kids and his wife and shot himself in a $2 million house. Why is that? Because we live in a fallen world. And when we get to heaven, we're going to escape from all that. We need no more of that. You don't have to worry about reading no more of that. Because it's going to be a place of holiness and righteousness. And how do you say that, Pastor? Listen, Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It says this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?"
Amen.
Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let nobody trick you that you can live any kind of way you want to live and do whatever you want to do and get to heaven, because the word of God says, not the pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Are you telling me I ain't going to heaven? I'm not telling you nothing, but let the word of God speak to your heart.
Amen.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. How about that? That's an extensive list. Somebody saying, get right, church, and let's go home. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. For prepared people. Oh, Pastor, that's hard. You go to the other heaven. That's the easy heaven. I want you to go to the real heaven. Paul, Ephesians 5, I like this one. Ephesians 5, 1. He said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." I mean, if you become a child of God, then you ought to want to be a dear child. You know, I always say this about my dad, and you know, I told him at the funeral, when I did my father's funeral, I said, I know out of all his kids, he loved me the most. Because I was a dear child to him. I was obedient. I wanted to make him happy. If he wanted the grass cut, it was going to be cut. He didn't have to worry about it. There wasn't going to be a leaf on the ground. When the leaves fell, I rake in the leaves and shovel snow. He come home, he never had stuck in the driveway when I was there. Because I was out there shoveling. And I wanted to make him happy. And this is what God is saying here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. See the problem we had. You know, we had saints. We had a lot of New Orleans saints. In Bourbon Street, and we do the Bourbon Street, you know, we do the Superdome, and we do all the stuff that the New Orleans saints do. And then we want to go to heaven. The New Orleans saints. We leave French Quarters. We at the House of Blues. This is what it says. Walk in love. How about that? Walk in love as Christ has also loved us. Now, how did he love us, Pastor? Stretched them wide. Okay. He died for us. He thought enough of us to die for us. He thought enough of us to save us, to die on Calvary's cross. That's a cruel death. Let me tell you something. Many of us in here, listen, if I say, well, listen, I can save your whole family, just let me cut off one of your fingers. Family be gone. Need that finger. That's my bowling hand. I can't swing the golf club without that finger. See? Tell me about heaven, Pastor. Heaven will be a place that is free from everything that curses us, everything that troubles us, everything that bothers us. Revelation 21 and 4 said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Why? "For the former things are passed away." How about that? The former things are passed away. Anything that's brought you pain and suffering, and usually it's loss that does that. There'll be no more loss in heaven. There's going to be no more loss in heaven. There'd be no more sickness, no more toil, no more working, no more things that just bring us trouble. Trouble. Now I know somebody asking the question. I'm gonna go ahead of my notes because I know this is on somebody's heart. Pastor, will I recognize my loved ones in heaven? If they're there.
Amen.
If they're there. And not only if they're there, if you get there.
Amen.
Amen. And it should be a commitment. Yeah, I gotta be committed. I want to get to heaven. You have to make a commitment to get to heaven. Paul made a commitment. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, I was determined not to preach anything but Christ and him crucified. Paul said, well, nothing getting in my way. I wasn't taking no chances with this. I want to get to heaven. David said this when his infant son died in 2 Samuel 2, 13, 12 and 23. He said, David said, I will go to him. But he will not return to me. So David said, well, I'm going to go to him. He had to understand that I had to recognize when I get there. I'm going to recognize him. Because I'm going to go to him. Okay? Moses and Elijah on the day of transfiguration. Recognize them. You recognize them. They didn't have cameras and stuff back then.
Amen.
Okay. They wanted pictures of them. They recognized them. Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man in hell recognized Lazarus. And recognized Jesus. I believe you're going to know your loved ones. If they're in heaven, you're going to know them. Tell me more, Pastor, about this wonderful place. Everybody talk about heaven. Somebody say, everybody talking about heaven.
Ain't gone.
You know, in heaven, you won't have to worry about asking any questions. You have perfect knowledge in heaven. You have perfect knowledge in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 said, for now, we see through a glass how? Darkly. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Okay? So you can ask all your questions, all about the different denominations. The denominations come from God. What about speaking in tongues? What about women preachers? What about tithing? Can you lose your salvation? Are there apostles today and prophets today? Y'all know how I feel about all that. But you will be able to ask face to face. Amen. You will be able to get a direct answer.
Uh-huh.
And then come see me. Find me. Say, Pastor. All right, I got to give it to you. He was writing about some stuff. I try to keep it straight to the Bible. Heaven will be a place of perfect love. How about that? Perfect love. Not the stuff we going through down here. This ain't perfect love down here. You know, you get a little sick, get a little out of shape, and folks look at you different. You know, your wife leaves you, get a little pot belly, your wife looking at you, fat. You weren't like that when I married you. Listen. Perfect love. 1 John 4 talks about perfect love. He said, beloved, let us what? Love one another. This is beautiful stuff. This is soul stuff. See, we fleshy. When we get to heaven, we're going to be dealing with souls. We're not going to be dealing with this flesh. Somebody, Jake was preaching. Jake was praying. He said, listen, he put on some flesh. That's all God did. When he came to earth, put on some flesh. And when he left here, he left that flesh here. Why? Because the word of God says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Coming out of this soup. Coming out of this soup. He put on flesh. But in heaven, we're going to have a perfect love. He said, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? Because God is love. Let me tell you something. Can't no boy tell you? Can't no girl tell you they love you Amen. If they don't love God?
Amen.
We went through a whole lot of that stuff. I love you. You know, love me. Love me not. Love me not. Like Charlie Brown. Yeah? I didn't start loving my wife until I started loving God. Real love. Perfect love. Okay? Herein is love. Verse 10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be what? A propitiation for our sin. Real love. When you get an understanding of that, now you know real love. God came, put on some flesh, died for our sins. For our sins. Perfect love. Heaven will not only be a place of perfect knowledge, perfect love, but it will be a place of perfect praise. Listen. We do a lot of flesh praising. Praising God out of our flesh, and anybody can get up here and sing in the flesh. But it's a difference. It's a different kind of singing going on in heaven.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of praising going on because we praise Him from the soul. From the soul. I just pray that when Margaret's singing up here or Cindy's singing up here, they're not singing in the flesh. They're singing from their soul. Because this flesh ain't got nothing to sing about. Okay? This flesh ain't going to heaven. Paul, David says in Psalm 71, 20, they say, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto you and my soul, which thou have redeemed. When you sing in front of a redeemed soul, it just sounds better. It just sounds better because, listen, folks that saved want to hear folks saved sing in front of redeemed soul. David was a great singer. Listen, David. 103 Psalm. Y'all know this one. And David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is what? Within me. Bless his holy name. God's name was holy to David. And David blessed God's name with his soul. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiven all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's praising God from the soul. You ever been convicted in your spirit? You had an opportunity to testify the greatness of God, the goodness of God, and you missed it. And you failed. And David said, I got to praise for that. He said, there was a time when I was on the run and Abimelech, and I acted like a fool. I acted like I didn't know God. And David sang a song and asked God to forgive him. To forgive him. Psalms 34, David says this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And we know out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So David had a heart change. And he said, my soul, not my flesh, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. In the Lord. The soul that's been redeemed, the soul that's been transformed, the soul that's been renewed, the soul that knows all the benefits, the soul that has been forgiven all thine iniquity and healed of all thy diseases shall boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Make the Lord big. You know, I was telling the church yesterday, I was talking to in Mass, and I said, when we come into this prison and do this epiphany, we want to make the Lord big. Come in here, we want to make the Lord big.
See, some God looks at the people of the world, looks at some of us, and we make the Lord small. Because little things just mess us up. And when a dying world see a man of God or a woman of God falling apart because of something small, we make the Lord small. David said, let us what? Magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Peter, one of my favorite verses, y'all have heard it, so I gotta say it. Peter, here's Peter. He said, but you are what? A chosen generation. You are royal priesthood. You are royalty. I keep saying that to folks. Say, folks, you are royalty. Y'all think I'm making this stuff up? I'm not making it up. You are a royal priesthood. I think about this last year, LeBron, you know, the Queen of England came to one of LeBron's games. It was in New Jersey. And the people of England had a fit because LeBron took a picture with the Queen and touched her. Y'all remember that? He put his arm around her and she was like, you're touching royalty. Y'all, all about that. And he's the king. No, you ain't the king. Like that. You know, it's like all these pastors, they call themselves doctors. I'm like, what are you? You don't have no degrees or nothing. You a doctor. Like you like Dr. J. They say, well, I'm a doctor. I said, well, what do you got your bachelor's in? What do you got your master's in? I just got a doctorate. Dr. Jekyll. Dr. Pepper. Everybody want to be called doctors. Are you committed? Have you made a commitment to praise God? To praise God. And I just gave you a whole list of reasons why. Because he redeemed my life from destruction. That's Psalm 103. He redeemed my life from destruction. Not only did he do that, he crowned thee with loving kindness and tenderness. Tender mercies. Go back to Peter. 1 Peter 2:9. Here's Peter. He said, but you're a chosen generation. I like that. Chosen generation. A royal priesthood and holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth praises of him. Why, Peter? Stop right there. You should show forth praises of him. Why, Peter? When you read the Bible, read it like that. Why should I show praises of him? Here's why. Who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's reason enough. That's reason enough. That's reason enough. If that's not reason enough, well, you got problems. You got problems. Listen, heaven is a city that won't fall apart. It got everlasting foundations. It's not falling apart. Things are going to come, and this on this side are going to rock our world. Going to rock our world. We're going to go through some stuff. The Bible, we heard the song, due to tribulations, they came through many tribulations. You're going to get shook on this side. You're going to get doctor's reports. You're going to get late phone calls. Folks going to die that you love. Folks going to get sick that you love. It's just stuff going to happen on this side. Why? Because we sort of like tent people. We living in a tent on this side. And this is what the old patriarch knew when Paul, the writer of Hebrews, starts talking about that they looked for a city which had foundations. Wasn't going to move. Why? Because the builder and the maker is who? God. We're going to shake down here. We're going to shake. We're going to rattle. We're going to get moved around. But there's going to come a time when we get to heaven, we're not moving no more. Why? Because the foundations is made of God. Oh my goodness. That'll make you want to go. You all want to get to heaven. And folks, I want to get to heaven. Pastor, get me to heaven. Show me how. Show me how. Show me how. That's what you ought to come every Sunday. Show me how. I listen to Jeremy praying and praying this morning. Just pray, Pastor, preach the gospel. Amen. Preach the gospel. And if it's not for somebody else, just equip me so I'll be equipped to help somebody else.
Amen.
Preach the Bible. You know, I heard a preacher say last week, you know how much God loves you by the pastor he put over you.
Amen.
He tells how much pastor, how much God loves you. Because we can sit under some stuff.
Amen.
We can sit under some stuff and don't hear nothing.
Amen.
And go home. And the word of God has no impact on us. We don't have no clue.
Right.
We talk about heaven today. What y'all pastor preach about today? He talked about heaven.
Yeah.
He preached about heaven. It's a better country. It's a better country. It's a better place. A better place than this. I don't care how you live in here. Heaven is better.
Amen.
Heaven is better. You know, many of us have set up shop. We don't want to leave here. We love it here. We love America. God bless America. God save America. I ain't going to say what the other guy said. Jeremiah Wright. Okay. Somebody said thank you. Heaven is a better place. But there's a warning to this too. Back in the day, we used to have a term. We used to say, a day late and a dollar short. You know, there was the man in Luke, the rich man in Luke. He was a day late and a dollar short. Luke 16, 19 through 31, we read about this man. And this is the danger that we face as a church and as the people of God. And we don't want to be a day late talking to our loved ones about the things of God. We don't want to be a day late. The Bible says today, if you hear my voice, harden what? Not your hearts, as in the provocation, as the folks did in the wilderness.
Amen.
Luke 16, 23 to 24, it says this, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and see if Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I'm in Luke 16. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Guess what? He was a day late. He was a day late. He had those opportunities, and many of us, and we have opportunity after opportunity to get right. Let's get right with the Lord. Get right with the Lord. We have those opportunities. Listen, in hell there is no second chances.
Amen.
Okay? He saw his own danger, but it was too late. But Abraham said, son, remember that in thy lifetime receiveth thy good thing, likewise Lazarus' evil thing, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that come from thence. It was too late. He realized too late. He prayed one day too late. That's sad. He prayed one day too late. He had a great prayer life. But he prayed one day too late. Luke 16, 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. How about that? I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. That's interesting. Still a day late. It was too late for him to ask for mercy. It was too late for him to escape the punishment. It was too late for him to be concerned about his loved ones. That's touching to me. Because we know our kids in trouble. We know our loved ones in trouble. But a lot of times we're a day late. Listen at this. Listen at this plea from the torments of hell. Luke 16, 28. I know I've touched on this before, but it just comes up. And when you talk about heaven, you got to talk about hell. Heaven and hell go together.
Amen.
Like grace and mercy. You're going to talk about heaven, don't talk about hell. He said, for I have five brothers. This is why he wanted Lazarus to go to his father's house. He had five people that he loved dearly. How many people do you have that you love dearly that don't know about Jesus? Think about that. How many people in your world? How many co-workers do you have? How many neighbors do you have? How many people are you going to talk to today that you know don't know the Lord? Today. And you're going to have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And you won't. He said, I have five brethren that I have groomed, that have watched me, that I've been their role model. They doing the same thing I was doing up there. And if they continue to do what I was doing, they're going to end up in here. And he's pleading with Abraham. He said, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to a place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, too late. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. I didn't listen to them. Why are they going to listen to them? I taught them that the word of God was meaningless. I told them that being a Christian was foolish. We ain't drinking, but it was merry. We partied, we cruised, we gambled, we drank, we smoked, we chased women. That's all we did. And if somebody don't come from the dead, they're coming with me. And they told me at my funeral I was in a better place. I had all that purple. I had a purple casket. I had a purple sheet over my casket, and all my pallbearers had on purple. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Whew. He realized his love for his brothers. But he was a day late. He was a day late. I think about this as I close. Psalm 42 and 4. This is an interesting psalm. Because see, David is thanking the folks that meant something to him. David says this. He says, when I remember these things. What things, David? All the stuff that David was into. All his trouble, all his trials, all his encounter with Bathsheba and Nathan and all the things that David did. David said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Why, David? For I had gone with the multitude. And I went with them. Where, David? Where did you go? To the house of God. With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. See, when David got right with God, the people he hung around with was right with God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new. David's life was transformed. It was changed. And when someone tell me that they're a child of God, they're a Christian, they're on their way to heaven, I'm just looking for change. I'm looking for change. I'm looking for somebody whose life is a signal to me. I'm different now. Okay, God has come into my life and took over. I'm not in charge anymore. I'm not doing what I want to do anymore. I'm God's man. I'm God's woman. That's not easy. Amen. Matter of fact, it's impossible. Without Amen. God. Amen. Without God, it's impossible to please him. Father, we thank you this morning. You're good to us. You redeemed our soul. You stepped out of glory, Father God. You stepped out of glory and walked this earth for 33 and a half years, Father God. And they spit on you and they ridiculed you. They cursed you. They crucified you. Nailed you to a rugged cross. And if that wasn't enough, Father God, they stuck a spear in your side. And then as they was doing that, Father God, the people mocked you and ridiculed you. He still told him. He still prayed for him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father God, we thank you this morning, Father God, that you opened our eyes and gave us the faith to believe. And you quickened us when we was dead in our trespasses and sin. We was just as spiritually dead as a doorknob, Father God. We was just crazy, out of control. And you quickened us and made us your own. What choice do we have? What choice do we have? Those that are truly redeemed, those that are truly saved, those that are truly children of God, what choice do we have but to glorify you? And to praise you and to lift up your holy name and then to go out and tell a dying world what you've done. Father, that's not a popular message, and I know it's not. I just know it's not popular, Father God. Because you said in your word that many false preachers have gone out to the world, Father God, and they preach a whole different message. But Father God, you know what? I believe there's enough light in this room today to go out and tell a lost soul, a lost loved one, somebody you're going to talk to today, and you get an opportunity. God will give you that opportunity. You pray to God. You say, God, give me an opportunity to witness to somebody about how good you are. You will get it. You will get it immediately. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for this church. Thank you for those that have come. Thank you for our visitors, Father God. We just pray right now that somebody, Father God, heart was pricked and they realize that heaven is a wonderful place. But it's a prepared place for prepared people. And not everybody is saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.